Good morning, beautiful people. You know, there's an age-old question, and I know when I was coming up, we used to talk about it in Bible study and in classes in the Baptist church I went to. And in some sessions I've been in Unity, we have talked about this age-old question. And the question is, am I my brother's keeper? There's been a lot of discussion on this topic. The dictionary says that a keeper is a person who manages or looks after something or someone. We know that, hopefully you know the story, and if you don't know the Bible story of Cain and Abel, the scripture is, it's in Genesis 4, verse 1 through 13. But today I'm not going to go through the whole story because I want to focus in on Cain's response. I want to focus in on why he even responded, am I my brother's keeper? You know, Cain had done some things, and Jesus came around and asked him, where's your brother Abel? And Cain reported, he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? You know, some Bible commentaries say that he was really saying, my brother is not my problem. You know, we hear some of that in consciousness today, don't we? What others do is not my problem. It's not my business. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, some kids were discussing this question in a Sunday school, and we can learn a lot from the children because they're so in awe and open and wide-eyed. And so some kids were discussing the story of Cain and Abel, and they learned that Cain was so angry and jealous of his brother Abel that he killed him. Afterwards, God asked, where is Abel? And that's when Cain made his remark, am I my brother's keeper? So the children were discussing this in a Sunday school. And immediately they all chirped up and said, yes. They said, yes, God would say, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And they were really on to something because the discussion morphed into them thinking, not just your brother, not just your family, but everyone is each other's brother. And they came up with the idea that you should keep an eye on other people so you'll know if they have a need. And I thought, wow, coming out of the mouths of babes, thinking about others. You know, at a young age, that happens. And then what happens? They come into the traditional world, into the traditional studies, and they begin to learn the opposite of that, don't they? They begin to stray from the oneness that we are. They begin to be taught prejudices and divisions. Hopefully not none of our kids, because we know the truth, don't we? We have a great community here. This community keeps an eye on other people. They jump in, they're not even asked to help. I know I experienced it not too long ago when I had to self-quarantine. I had more food more phone calls than I could deal with. We have a beautiful community here, one that knows, one that cares. And you know, the thing about it is, in caring for each other, we not only do it in deed, but we do it what? In prayer. We hold them in that prayer consciousness. We walk the talk, don't we? So Jesus said, come as little children. I take that to be open and receptive to all that there is. These were really wise kids. They also talked about how sometimes you can talk to others or do things for them, but sometimes you can't. Yet you can always be keepers because you can think about them, and I'm adding this, and hold them in the essence of prayer. But the kid said, you can think about them and know God loves them. So when I think about being a keeper, you know, everything that I talk about, I like to turn it around into the spiritual realm, into the metaphysical realm, into that absolute realm, instead of keeping it in the relative. If we say keeper and think about it in the traditional way, we're keeping it in the relative because we're talking about an action word, right? Or doing for somebody. But we want to turn this around this morning and think about this a little bit. You know, holding the love and light, knowing the spark of divinity in all beings, is part of being a keeper. After all, it says in Genesis, God created us in his likeness and in his image, spiritual, and that within us is that perfection, is that spark of divinity, that within us knows that it's not only in us, we're not that pious and upright. We know that it is in all people. Now, I know what you may be thinking, well, what about the ones out here doing things that really aren't in line with that thinking? In them also is that spark. But you know what? They need an example. You need to not buy into what they're selling. You need to be your authentic self, stand in your truth, and be the spiritual being that you are. Also, I always tell myself sometimes when I'm talking to someone and you know that little nerve or that little button can be pushed. And I'm about to say something that I need not say. I often think about that and I think, shut up, Vernetta. Close your mouth. Because you can just vibrate out love and peace and truth. You don't have to stand and make a point. You can be the point. You can be the expression. I don't have to be combative and get something started. I used to, though. I think we all have been there. We all have been there. But as we grow, we know, don't we? As we grow in spirit, we know that's not the way and that's not the road to take. A little bit about the metaphysical aspect. Cain means, and this is from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Cain means possession, acquisition, that which draws to itself selfishness. Human consciousness which strives to acquire and possess. Oh my. That's a lot, isn't it? Paul calls it the flesh or the physical. Abel means breath, which places him in the air, not spiritual mind, but the mind that controls the animal function, which that's just the, you know, the human. Charles Fillmore calls it the soul. You know, so Abel is representing the soul. So when Cain answered the Lord with a question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Hebrew word here that is used for keeper is shamar. And don't get me on the pronunciation. It's S-H-A-M-A-R, shamar. It's a verb that simply means to keep, to watch, to guard. So what does this mean to us? I believe that it means that we are to be observant of what's going on around us. You know, in dealing with the material world, with the physical stuff, as Cain is representing, you can see the selfishness. And that's what we want to look beyond, because beyond that is goodness. It is those who are looking to embrace their brother. There are those who, as we say, centered in love and embracing one another. We are keepers, but not in the traditional sense. That's the only thing about words when you use them. The minute I say keeper, your mind goes to, oh, taking care of somebody physically, right? Well, we are keepers, but not in the traditional sense. Every Sunday we say what? One presence, one power in our lives. Do you believe that? We're saying that there is nothing else in the absolute. Yes, there may be turmoil out here, but it's in the relative. It's not in the absolute. God is absolute good, unchanging. That's what absolute means. Absolute means nothing can influence it. It's going to stay as it is. One presence, one power. All this stuff that happens is our human experience. We have something in us that is greater than the human experience. You know, we can't separate some people out because of race or sexual orientation or their political views. And that's what the world is doing, right? We can't do that because we know the truth that we are one, that we are connected. What I do to you, I do to myself, because there's no separation. We have to be the ones to stand in this truth. When we hear others in conversation of it, we have to be the light in that conversation. Maybe not necessarily saying anything, although the opportunity may arise, but we have to be the light in that situation. Just like with the story with Cain and Abel. Cain was the elder brother, and Abel was the younger brother. Well, in us is a Cain and Abel. You know, we know better as the elder, right? Because our thoughts, we study this truth. When we're I can't think of any other words, but if, when we're grown-ups in spirit, you know, we begin as little children, curious and open and practicing and learning. But when we grow in spirit, we become the ones that are the leaders. The leaders in how it's done, how to love one another, how to embrace one another. Living the Christ life is being a keeper. We move through the universe with our hearts full of compassion and full of empathy. In Matthew 5:43-45, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven." In other words, that we may be the true Christ spirit that we are. I know you're saying that's hard to do, but not really if you take the time in prayer and meditation. If you take the time to know that we're connected, if you take the time to know, just as you throw a pebble in a pool of water, it ripples out, so does our vibrations. So does our vibrations. You know, the rest of that verse says, "It raineth on the just and the unjust." So who are we to judge? All we need be is be the spiritual being we are created to be. Yeah, we know the truth, and it is our responsibility to be the example for those who may be in the dark. Every man, by his example, his word, is his brother's keeper. I should say every person by their example and their word are keepers. And Jesus said, "Even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Mull on this a little bit and think on this answer, this response that Cain gave. And I pose it to you. Am I my brother's keeper? I say yes. I say I have a responsibility to be the light, to be the truth, and to shine that light on someone who may be lost and in the dark, and to hold them in the essence of all that is spirit. Let's prepare for meditation. And we're going to prepare by affirming the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we hold on to that truth. And we're receiving right here, right now, our daily bread, that substance that we need to make it through this experience we go through as human beings. So breathe in and take a moment. You can focus on the light back here behind me or gently close your eyes. But make this inward journey with me. One presence, one power. And we're all a part of that presence and that power. We live and move and have our being and the essence of all that is. Breathing in and breathing out, relaxing into this moment, right here, right now. Now is the moment. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now is the moment to be the light, to be the hands here on earth, to be God's expression. Breathing in and breathing out, give yourself permission to make this journey, to move a little deeper into spirit. Taking time along the way to know and to feel and to experience the activity of spirit moving throughout your very being. In this moment, right now, every fiber is responding to that presence and to that power and to the vibrations of love and light and peace. Breathing in and breathing out. And relaxing to enter into pure presence, we let go of all things. We center ourselves in the vibrations of peace. Peace that passes all understanding. We know not where it comes from or why it's generated, but when we take that deep breath and slowly release it, we feel ourselves caught up in the vibrations of spirit. And so we take this moment right here, right now, and step over the threshold into our inner chamber, and immediately the light fills us, and the love flows over in and through us. And yes, there is peace as we sit a moment and fill our cups that our vessels may become one with that light within in the quiet. We're so grateful for this moment apart. And as we prepare to return to this room, to our surroundings, we do so bringing with us all the vibrations of love and peace and wisdom. And we bring them forth and share them with the universe, letting our lights vibrate out, reaching and touching anyone in need of this truth this morning. Yes, we are not only keepers of one another, but we are keepers of the light. And we keep the flame aglow by knowing that we are spiritual beings, that we are the Christ, that we are one with the One. And so for this and all things, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it is so, and so it is. Amen.